Yes, I'm married to one of those Baileys, and I am happily miserable, as it should be. That's a joke. I love her to death. But yes, we have a young son, and we have a daughter on the way. He's going to be about 15 months older than his little sister when she comes, but we are very excited. And this topic really does hit home for us. I want you to look in your Bibles at Proverbs chapter 22 for a moment. Proverbs chapter 22, and we'll look at verse 6. This is one of those verses that we should have ingrained in our minds, placed in our hearts, and ready to go at a moment's notice whenever we're struggling or whenever we have time thinking about our children. Verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. How wonderful of a verse is that? Train up a child in the way he should go. Tonight, we are going to be talking about parents. Do you care what your children are learning or what they're being taught? Because I want parents to understand that they're the main teachers and influence in their children's lives so that they do not lead them down a path of unrighteousness. That's crucial right there. We are going to be that main influence in our children's lives every single day. But we live in a world that does everything it can to remove the family aspect from the home. School activities happen in the evenings and they take up so much time after an already long day in the classroom. The TV and the internet, it steals away that time from us growing together as a family. And we're focused more on our phones or our tablets more than just shutting the TV off and learning how their day went. What do you think your children are learning? I want you to think about this for a moment. They look to us as role models, and they're constantly observing our actions. They are mimicking what we are doing every single step of the way. And we get upset with our children for not listening. But when was the last time we listened to them? And we get upset with our children for being unruly. But when was the last time we looked at our own actions? This lesson is not focused on what our children are learning from the world, but more about what they are learning from the church, the home, and us as parents. We have examples that are seen from the church. Each and every one of us, they see us as we come in on Sundays and Wednesdays, as we gather together as the church. I want you to turn for a moment to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, this is the assembling of the saints. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Perfect not in the sense that we are flawless, but perfect in the sense that we are complete. But we are those who are registered in heaven. And this is where we can find like-minded individuals that are focused on pleasing God. This is where our spiritual family can be found. These are the people, when we look to our left and when we look to our right, that these are the people that more than likely have our backs more than our own flesh and blood most days. This is where we can find the true family of God. But sadly, there are members that put on a mask. They come into a congregation of a church and they act Christian. In fact, a lot of times you see individuals that walk through the front doors and then all of a sudden they stand up a little straighter. They are the ones who talk Christ and seem to be obedient in the eyes of men, in the eyes of individuals, but they wear this mask for only about 2 hours a week. On Sunday morning and Wednesday night. And when the final amen is given, they walk out the door and they chuck the mask on the floorboard of their car and they go back out into the secular world and you cannot distinguish them from the rest of the world. That's a problem. What are these Christians but hypocrites? What is the one thing a child can see through quicker than anybody else? Hypocrisy. The damage that this causes. I want you to think about this. As a member who puts on this mask, it damages the reputation in the community. If you are going to try and have a Bible study with somebody, if you're going to try and speak to others of the world, but you act just like the world, you're not going to be able to reach them. And at the same time, you damage the reputation of the church. Say I'm different from all the other churches that I just saw coming up the road. The Living Water Church, the Polar Church, or the Baptist Church. What they're going to say is, what makes you different from the denominations? Think about that. If we act like the world is going to notice. And they're going to say, well, you're just another group. These are the members that also damage the faith of the next generation. Whether it be my aunt or my uncle or my father or my mother, just understand this. This could be our good friend that's been in the church for 20 years, but if I see him out in the world and I see him acting unchristlike, what am I going to think? What are our children going to think? Well, if he can do it, why can't I? Why not be that example for the next generation? Look at Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 is a very powerful chapter. And what this is the damage that's caused by the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Matthew chapter 23, verse 1. Then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works. For they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men, they make their proselytes broad, phylacteries broad, and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at the feasts and the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi." What does this do? If we ourselves tell our children, don't do that, but then we don't do it ourselves, what does that teach? It's okay. I can just blow it off. I can ignore this. Why should I do it if my father's not willing to do it also? Why should I do this if somebody in the congregation isn't willing to put on the same burdens that they tell me to do? Look at Matthew chapter 7. We will be known by how we live and by how we act. Look at verse 15. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." We will be known by our fruits. If we're not doing the work outside of the church, guess what? If we're not putting on Christ daily, guess what? If we're not getting out there and doing the work that God has commanded us to do, guess what? We're not going to make it into heaven either. If we're not willing to live for Christ and do as he commands, do the simplest acts and be alive in the church, how are we going to be alive in heaven? We need to be working. We need to stand before God on that final day of judgment and be blameless before Him. For we will be judged by that face that is behind the mask, not the one that we put on to look good in front of man. I challenge you to be a Christian that you claim to be and to live for God in a way that He intended. I challenge you to be the example for the future generation that can look up to and carry on in the work of the kingdom. Because if they can't look up to us, what are they going to do? They're not going to look up to anything. They're probably not even going to look up to God. But that's the example that we set in the church. What about the example that's seen in the home? The home is where most of our learning should come from. That's where we need to be the most prepared for our children. The school system is attacking the home more than ever. It seems like it's trying to take away as much time as it possibly can from that dinner table. They're in school for 8 hours a day, and then they're in sports activities for 3 to 4 hours a night. And then, on top of everything, those activities are promoted year-round, all around the clock, all around the calendar, even in the summer. But I ask you, is it wrong to play sports? Absolutely not. What is wrong is when you allow the school system to take priority over your home lives. Is it wrong to have children in public school? Absolutely not. But it is wrong when you pass on the responsibility of being a parent to an individual who did not have the same moral guidance to raise your child. If you give up the responsibility to someone else to raise your children, we're not going to have another generation. Home is where we teach our children to fight against the influences of the world. Home is where, as we go through this life, we have such a short amount of time with our children. We have such a short amount of time, it's ridiculous. I think about the past 8 months that I have had with my own son, and the only time that I have with him in the evenings before he goes to bed is that time in which I get home, I feed him, change his diaper, put him in a onesie, and put him in bed. Now he's 8 months old, and school is very demanding, but here in just a few months, 1 month in fact, I will have more time. And I look forward to those evenings that I will be able to share with my child, and especially with my future child, and how I will be able to dedicate more time to teaching my children about God. We have such little time with our children to develop a faith in God, which will help them to get to heaven. Home is where we should be building these healthy habits, engaging in Bible reading, telling Bible stories, discussing matters of salvation that will impact their lives more than any school event ever will. Think about this for a moment. It should never be a question. Never be a question. Are we going to go to church tonight? Am I going to be there in services on Sunday morning? No, I will be there. That should never be a question. There's a lot of struggles in this world. This is the escape that we have to get away from those troubles. This is where we can find relief in a dark world that does not have God. If we're Christians, we will put on God first. We will put Him first and foremost in our lives. If we look at Matthew chapter 6, just a page over in verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We cannot serve two masters. We will either hate the one and love the other. Guess which one we should love? God. We should love to put God first. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves a father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Loving God above all else is paramount to getting into heaven. When we put on Christ, did we not first count the cost? Look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 is a parable of talking about counting that cost. That moment when we went down into the water, did we not first say that, God, forgive me of my sins. I want to live for you. Look down at verse 25 of Luke chapter 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, hate here only means love less. Not to despise, but to love less. Love less than what? Love less than God. If he does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Think about that. Did we not first sit down and count the cost of what it was going to be a disciple? Did we not first consider the cost of what it was going to take in order to be pleasing to God? Why are we reneging on that agreement that we made with God? He was happy. He is happy and faithful to give us that promise of eternal life so long as we live according to his will. Think about that. We put Christ first. So not only do we have the example in the church, not only do we have that example of the home where our children are learning to be better adults, better Christian followers, better followers of Christ, leave that arithmetic, leave that writing, leave the reading, leave that responsibility to the teachers. But at home is where we learn the important lessons of life. Home is where we learn the only thing that matters in this world, salvation, and how to bring others to salvation. Lastly here, I want to think about the example seen from the parents. Our children mimic everything that we do. They see how we walk, they see how we talk, and most importantly, they see how we act every single day. They're learning everything from us, and their actions reflect our own. I've watched many families come through the church doors and many children that don't follow after. I have seen mother and father, older, 70s, 60s, 70s, walk through the door, and where's their son and daughter? You know what that leaves? That leaves a gap. That leaves a void in the church for the next generation. Parents, many times we demonstrate an attitude that is very take it or leave it about church. We show up and we check a box and we go home and never truly stress the importance of worship. We don't stress the importance of God in the home either. What this produces is children who don't care about God. If we are lukewarm Christians, I can assure you that our children will be cold. In fact, I'm a firsthand witness of a father who skips service because he thinks his job is more important. And he goes to church when it's convenient. He goes to services whenever he does not have something more important or pressing. He'd much rather be out in the hayfield putting up hay. We see the same thing when we put sporting events in front of Wednesday night service. This is a lackadaisical attitude. In fact, his son, he gets taken to church by grandma because grandma knows the importance of at least going to services. But what does this teach the son that's screaming and crying, I want to be with dad. I want to do what dad's doing. This teaches the son that church is just a hindrance to being with dad. Church is just a hindrance getting in the way of doing something that I want to do, not what God wants me to do. When he gets old enough, he will make a choice in his life, and I can assure you that that choice will have nothing to do with God. And that's sad, because Father, he will be judged for his actions. We need to be a foundation for our children. It's up to our children to make the faith their own. Don't get me wrong there. But it is up to us to give them the important tools necessary in order for them to have faith. It is up to us to teach them to embrace and to submit to God and His authority. It is up to us to teach them that sin is against God in every single way. It is up to us in order to teach them how to live a life pleasing to God. And it's up to us to teach them how to develop a relationship with God. We teach them how to flee from immorality. I can assure you that whatever excuse that we have for not teaching our children, I have more verses here in my notes than we do excuses of how to get out of teaching our own children. Have you ever heard the old saying, it takes a village to raise a family? Well, think of it like this. It takes a whole church to raise the next godly generation. It takes every single one of us to be faithful, to be that good example. I want you to look at Judges. Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2 and verse 7. So the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord which he had done in Israel. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died when he was 110 years old. How many of us are faithful and willing to serve God until the day that we die at 110 years old? It's not about us. I'm never too old to not serve God. Think of that. And they buried him within the borders of the entrance at Timnath. Here's in the mountains of Ephraim on the north side of Mount Gash. When all that generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the works which he had done for Israel. Think of that. This shows us that it only takes one generation to fall away from the church. One generation. How scary is that? To think that in only one generation, there would be no Lincoln Church of Christ. There could be no Kansas Expressway Church of Christ. There could be no Church of Christ left in America. It takes one generation to lose the Lord's church. This should keep us pushing and striving to maintain a godly home in a world that hates the home. As a parent, Deuteronomy chapter 6 screams at me just about every single night. I think about these verses as I am now a father and how the responsibility that weighs on me every single day to make sure that I am being that godly parent, doing as God commands us to do. Look at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. How do we do that? How do we love God with all of our love, with all of our heart, with all of our strength? Think of that for a moment. Look at verse 6. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Focusing and studying on the Word of God is how we get the love for God that we need to have. But how do we get that into our children? Look at verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Maybe it's time to shut off the TV or turn off the cell phone or put down that fascinating book that we've just got to read right now. We need to be teaching our children every single moment of the day, even when we're sitting in the house. If there is a quiet moment in the house, why not fill it with aspects of the Lord? When you walk by the way, now this is a good one. Let's bring this up to modern speed. When we drive by the way, how many of us are driving 15 minutes to school every morning? How many of us have a 15-minute or an hour drive during the day with our children? Why not shut the radio off? Why not shut off the video games and have that time to speak to our kids about our Lord? When you lie down and when you rise up, let that be the first thing when they wake up in the morning and the last thing on their mind when they go to bed. Because our children, their brains, it may not seem like it, but our children's brains are whirling. They're soaking in every bit of information that we can give them. Why not let it be about God? Verse 8, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. I don't encourage you to go out and get a tattoo of a scripture. I don't encourage you to put frontlets between your eyes because it can be rather distracting. But what this is saying is make a reminder constantly that we will be diligent to teach our children, not only be a reminder for them, but a reminder for ourselves. And you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. How wonderful of a thought is it that before you walk out of the door in the morning, when the kids' lunches are packed and you're ready to go off to school, in this house, we serve God. Right there on the doorpost. And on the gate, just before you leave, continue to serve the Lord. Now, they could have a rough day, and when they get home, they'll see that gatepost again and that doorpost, and they'll have a reminder that the Lord lives here. The Lord is protecting our home. No matter what wickedness that we come across in our lives, the Lord is our Savior. The Lord is the one that protects us. Parents, it falls on us to teach our children. If we don't make God a priority in our life, our children definitely will not make God a priority in their own. And we will be judged based on how we raise our children. Think of that. We will be judged based on whether or not they are faithful. Now, they may come a time in their life where they choose to fall away from the church, but at least we know that we did everything in our power to make sure that they had the tools necessary for salvation. Let that be acceptable before the Lord. I challenge you tonight to strive to be better. I challenge you to always make more room in your heart for God and to continually be making improvements in your own life. This right here is how we make improvements in our life. This is how we get closer to God every single day of our life. If there's anybody here tonight that's struggling with trying to get closer to God, if there's anybody here that's struggling with trying to study with their own children, let it be known. I want to help you. There's faithful brethren here that can help you and give you tools and guide you in ways that can teach your children so that they can be faithful adults when they grow up. Sometimes we forget that we're not raising children, we're raising the next generation. If there's anybody here that has not put on Christ, why not do it tonight? You've heard the word of God. Why not believe? Why not obey and do what he commands us to do, believing that Jesus is that Son of God? And confess and repent and turn away from sin and turn towards God and confess that Jesus is the Son. Because at that point, let's get you in the water. Let's lower you down and let's wash you of your sin and let God add you to the church. That's what's important. Because at that point, that's when we can start to live faithfully for God. If there's anybody here tonight that has a need or is struggling with something, let it be known. I love you, and I want to see the absolute best for you. Thank you.